This is our first year post Purim, so welcome to everyone after Purim. And what we want to do is start a gigantic sugya, and I was very mocked to give you background material that you would read through from the encyclopedia to get a feeling for how vast this sugya is, how complicated it is. In fact, if you know anyone who studied for smicha and successfully took their exams, you can bet your bottom dollar that they know all this material, because this is a mini smicha course right here. Yoredeya chelag alf, what we call iser v'heter, and iser v'heter, although it deals with other issues like basar b'chalav and melicha, but primarily it focuses on the laws of taroves. Even basar b'chalav is mostly the laws of taroves, and the laws of taroves begin with the principle called Tam Ki Iker. And Tam Ki Iker tells me that even if I don't have what's called a Be'en, who can tell me what the word Be'en means? Bet, Ayin, Yud, Nun.
Isn't it like Me'en?
Be'en means the substance, the actual substance. So for example, Iser fell into a Heter in a mixture, and I remove the Iser. So what would be your knee-jerk response? It should be Mutter. After all, the Iser was removed, but nevertheless, it may be us. The Iser already achieved its goal, so to speak. If you see the Iser of some sort of evil force, and already penetrated into the Heter by giving it something called Tam. In fact, if you have a kli, a utensil that was used for cooking, and in this case you used it for cooking nevela or tray for something that's also, now it's a clean kli. It's sparkling clean. But nevertheless, if you cook in that same kli bishul, then it might be awesome, because what comes out of the walls of the kli? Tam Iser. So again, the concept of Tam Iser, it's not something physical. It's not something that you can see with your eye. Again, the Iser has been removed. Whatever Iser might exist has penetrated into the walls of your utensil. Obviously, you can't see that. So this concept of Tam is a very abstract concept. And the Gemara in a number of sugyos in Shas says that Tam ki ikar, which is another way of saying that Tam is ki be'en. If the taste is there, then it's as if the be'en is there. And there's going to be many sugyos that try to derive this principle of Tam ki ikar from various parashios in the Torah. For example, if you take a look at the pages I gave out yesterday, you'll see that one possible source for Tam ki ikar is a sugya nazir, because the Torah says, and this is a pasuk in Parashas Naso, v'chol mishras anovim lo yishteh. What does it mean when the Torah turns to the nazir who's enjoined from drinking wine and says v'chol mishras anovim, which literally means the soaking of grapes? What does it mean, the soaking of grapes? A nazir is not allowed to eat grapes or any product thereof, but here what you're left with is water. There are no grapes here. The grapes were soaking in water, and you remove the grapes. Nevertheless, the nazir is enjoined from drinking this water that has in it what? It has a grape flavor in it, right? We'll call it grape flavor, right? That's called tam ki ikar. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that mishras anovim is necessary for something else. That's called Iser mitztarf laheter, heter mitztarf laiser. But he has another parsha, another source in the Torah for Tam Ki Iker. He learns it from a parsha in Bamidbar Perek Vav called Giulei Nachrim, which means the Torah says that when you defeat your enemies in battle and you want to take their kelim, their utensils, and now use it, but their utensils were used in Iser, they were used for Nevela and Shreifa because the non-Jews don't have Shechita. The Torah says, "Called Dovra Shayova Be'esh Taviu Be'esh," which means you have to go through a process called Hechsher Kalim. You can't just take the booty, take the kederos and the clay bishul of the goyim and cook in them. It means the tam ki'ikar, because all you get from these kalim is the tam that's balua, that's penetrated into the walls of the kli. A third possible source might be the parasha of basar b'chalav, and basar b'chalav means, even if a piece of meat fell into hot milk and then the meat was removed, the milk itself is called basar b'chalav. Why? What's left in the milk after you remove the tam? And this again is tam ki ikar. Now, There's a gigantic machlokas rishonim as to how we paskin halacha lemaisa. Is tam ki'ikar accepted? Everybody agrees that tam is ki'ikar. But the question is whether that's a doraisa halacha and these various alfusas have been accepted. That's the shita that's brought down here. And I put it on the page in footnote number 79.
Is tam an actual tam, or tam is considered tam once it's put in?
Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. That's going to be footnote number 12. But first, I just want to tell you, la'alocha, do we paskin the tam ki ikar is doraisa, like all those limudim? Yesh sovrim, number 79, this is on your page 2. She'osar min ha'torah. Okay, you have a whole long list of rishonim here in number 79. Let's just mention a few of them. And that's on your page 4, which is the page for the footnotes. Rabbeinu Tam, in two places, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Rabbeinu Yosef, Tosfos in Psachim, in Zvachim, the Baal HaTrumas, the Eshkol, the Raifid, the Rokeach, the Rashba. I mean, so who's list? I mean, all these Rishonim agree, Peh Echad, unanimously, that Tam Ki Iker is Doraisa. That's footnote number 79. But if you fast forward a little to footnote number 100, then you get a whole different impression. Yeshman and Rishonim in the next paragraph, Sovrim, She. That's only according to one Shita, that Chachamim Sovrim, that Tam Ki Iker is not Doraisa. Ela Midrabanan in footnote number 101. And if you want to look at the list of Rishonim who maintain that Tam Ki Iker is only Durabanan, I would suggest Ludas Rishonim Ela Halachik Tam Ki Iker Durabanan, who 109, and that's going to be the Sheet of Rashi in Chulin, the Sheet of the Rambam, and the Ramban and the Ran. So there's a whole school of Rishonim who will maintain that Tam Ki Iker is only Dirabon. Now, Dov asks me a very fundamental question. Are we really talking about Tam? Is Tam a reality? Is it something that you actually taste when I drink this milk after the meat was removed? Do I taste the meat? Has something actually changed? So in order to understand that, we have to go back to the din, which is the most, how should I say, central din that we're going to discuss here, and that's called bittul. What is bittul? So if you take a look at number 20, you will see the concept of bittul. What is bittul? Bittul means that if I have a liquid substance, as opposed to yavesh, which is something that's dry. You see, in the case of something that's dry, let's say, for example, a piece of chametz gets mixed up with matzah and I can't identify where the chametz is and where the matzah is. That's called a tarovus of yavesh be yavesh. That's a different kind of tarovus. That's not a tarovus of tam. There's no interchange of tam here. The tarovus here just engenders a suffix. Whenever I take out something from this mixture, I don't know. Is it chametz or is it matzah? The halacha of tam ki ikar kicks in when I have something called lach, which means that there's some sort of exchange of taste of lach belach, or for example, lach biyovich when I cook them together. Once I cook them together and I have tam, what happens if the ratio between the Iser and the Heter is a very small ratio? You can have 1 to 100, 1 to 1,000. What about 1 to 60? That's called Echad B'Shishin. And in this case of Lach B'Lach, or Lach B'Yavish after Bishal, after cooking, we can activate the Halacha of Bitul B'Shishin. Bitul B'Shishin means that since the Heter is 60 or more times the volume of the Iser that fell in, The Iser and the Tam that came out of the Iser is completely lost. It has no identity. That's called Beit of Bashisha. So please take a look at footnote number 20. And we're going to see this also on the pages that I gave out today. He refers to a machlokas rishonim im tamu es atarovus v'lo hoya batam. What happens if somebody tasted this mixture and he doesn't taste the tam of Iser? Now, how could someone go ahead and taste it? We're talking about there's no shishim, exactly, a goy. And which goy do we rely on?
The same one with the get an usher, right?
What's that called? Again, the word is important. Correct. He's called a kefela. A kefela is someone whose job it is, his profession is a chef. We pay him for that. A chef has to have a very sharp sense of taste. And if we see that his sense of taste is not reliable, he's going to lose his job. Or alternatively, if he lies to us...
Kill him.
I wouldn't kill him, but I certainly wouldn't want to keep him on as the chef. Again, if there are standards of kashrus. So when are we going to rely on Te'ilas Kfeilim? Let's say there's a mixture with Iser Veheter. The Kfeilim knows that we're going to rely on him, and he's got to give us an honest response. He tells us that there's no time. But the ratio here of Heter to Iser is 59 to 1. We don't have Shisha. So according to one school of thought, he says, we still need Shisha. We still need that ratio. We can't rely on that Kfela. Do you see that in footnote number 12? Now, let's put these pages on the side for a moment, and take out the other pages that I gave you today. This is an article, an essay that's called Bitul Bishishim. And in the second paragraph on page 1, V'nechleku Rishonim, and here he presents no less than 3 shitos in Rishonim. It's a three-way machlokas. The first sheet is the sheet of Rashi. Rashi says that this whole concept of Bitul B'shish and the magic number 60 is only lahachmir. What does that mean? It adds a chumrah. Im tamu es atarovis v'lo hayabotam iser. The kfeilah tells us, he testifies, I don't taste the nevelia, I don't taste the meat here. It's pure milk. Is nevertheless, says Rashi, we need shishim. We need a ratio of 60 against 1, that's the heter against Iser, in order to be mate. We cannot rely on the kfeila. If, on the other hand, we have shishim, and the kfeila tells us that despite the fact that your ratio is such and such, I still taste the Iser, then l'chumra, the kfeila now, will be relied upon, and the mixture is usur. It means now, according to Rashi, we need 2 halachas to be matir this tarobis. We have to operate with 2 different methods. One method is that the guy tells me that he didn't taste the Iser. And not only that, we have to employ shishim. It's got to be both. So let me read to you the language. Maybe you want to underline this if you can.
But if Fila says that there is a taste of meat, we trust him right away?
No. We need 2 conditions in order to be matir. Number 1, we need that the akum, the goy, lo hirgish, tam shel iser. And number 2, vegam, sheyesham shishim kedet iser. The Rashi is vegam karbona, right? We need a double heter here. And if we don't have A plus B, we can't be matir. That's the sheet of Rashi. The second sheet is the sheet of Tosfos. Rashi sheet to here. This is the Rashi number 20, which I think is in Chulin. Yeah, Rashi is in Chulin, Daf Tzariches Amar Alf. One of the greatest sugyas of Bitul B'Shishim is the sugya in Chulin, Daf Tzari Zayin Amid Beis, that spills over into Tzariches Amar Alf. You'll see this in footnote number 11 and footnote number 20. Now we get to the sheet of Tosfos and the Rosh. That's going to be footnote number 21. Yesh sovrim shebe'echad mishnei hatnoim mutar. One of the 2 is enough to be makir. O b'te'imas akum bilvad. As long as the guy tastes it, the kfeila, and he says that there's no tam iser in this taroves. Afilu enkan shishim. I don't need shishim. Let's say the ratio is 59-1. But the guy testifies, and he's an expert in tam, he doesn't taste tam. Oh, b'shishim bilvad. Afilu b'li te'imas akum. I don't need te'imas akum. Whereas Rashi always absolutely requires te'imas akum, and absolutely requires shishim, and the combination thereof is absolutely necessary to check off two conditions in order to be matir. Tosa says no. It's one or the other. If the guy tells me he doesn't taste it, forget it. I don't have to go through the effort of figuring out the ratio and the proportions. If on the other end I know the ratio and I know I have shishim, the guy is irrelevant.
So even if it has a taste of it?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Is that how we paskin?
I'm not up to paskening right now. I just want to present the three shitas, and then the paskening will come at the end of this paragraph. But the third shita is the shitas of Rambam. What's the Rambam shita? So again, Tosfos shita is in footnote number 21. The Rambam shita is in footnote number 23. Yesh sovereign. This is the Rambam. Shem yesh kan akum. If the akum is available.
So the second opinion was the Rambam.
The second opinion is the shitas of Tosfos. Okay. The third opinion is the Shitas HaRambam. And again, Ariel, I don't expect you to rely on me for this. That's why I gave you the pages. You know, I was up very early this morning.
Right.
Okay. And take a look, because this is not the way it appears in Bar Ilan. I mean, I had to juggle things around. Okay. But that's... I'm not asking... Okay. The Rambam says it all depends on whether we have a guy or we don't have a guy. If there's a guy available, Joke Fela will call him, then ain't something klal al shishim, bein lahakil, bein lahachmir. The Rambam Shita, give me a minute to present the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is that if we have access to a guy, a kfela to taste it, shishim is totally irrelevant. Bein lahakil, bein lahachmir. We're not interested in the results of your ratio. Again, the whole full sugyas in our look about how do you establish the ratio, what's the displacement theory, but that's not for us now. In time, if Akum says, I didn't taste the Iser, then it's mutter, even if there's no shish. Okay, in that sense, the Rambam overlaps with Tosfos, but we'll see that there's an afkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos. He says, on the other hand, even if we do have shishim, we cannot rely on shishim because we have access to a guy. Lo amru shir shishim. When does the halacha of bittul b'shishim kick in? Elok she'ein kan akum. The halacha of shishim is really a method that we utilize, that we fall upon as a default to replace the akum. It's only replacement because we have no choice. So whereas Tosfos is willing to say, you know what? Let's rely on shishim without the akum. Let's cut out the akum. Tosfos is not interested in knocking on the doors of the kfela, even if he lives a minute down the road. We're not obligated to do so. Tosfos says that shishim is a method that replaces the akum. Again, if the akum tells me that he tasted it or he didn't taste it, then we rely on the akum. But there's no need to ask the akum, even if the akum is accessible. Tosfos says that shishim is a fallback position. So let's just review the three shitas. We've got Rashi on one extreme. I meant to say Rama. What did I say? I'm sorry, Rama. Okay, let me just give an overview and then the floor is yours, okay? We have three shitas. One shita is the shita of Tosfos on one extreme. I'm sorry, just one second, let me just get this straight. Yeah, the sheet of Tosfos on one extreme, and the Rambam sheet on the other extreme. We have Rashi's sheet in the middle.
No.
Let me see if I can do it, and then Daniil, you'll attack me, okay? Because otherwise I'm going to lose my bearing.
Right.
Okay. One sheet is going to say the following. Forget about shishim. Shelve it. For the time being, put it on the back burners. Because what's critical is te'imas tefillah. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita says that the whole invention of this mechanism called bittul b'shishim is only a default position because we don't have akum. In essence, then according to the Rambam Shita, How are we going to... What really is the determining factor in Iser Veheter in Taroves? Again, we're not talking about Yovish B'Yovish, we're talking about the Taroves of Lach. And what's the answer? The Mitzius of Tom. Is there Tom or is it not Tom? And what I mean by Tom is the way you and I would relate to Tom. We'll call it Balabatish of Tom. A reality of Tom. Who's going to determine whether there's a Tom there or not? You and I can't do it because we can't taste this Taroves. Chas v'shalom, maybe it's also. So we'll give it over to whom? To the Kvela. The Kvela is reliable. Shishim is another method, a substitute method. The Rabbanan gave us a great gift. It was a tremendous chesed on their part. They allowed us to utilize shishim to determine whether there's Tom or not. That's the Rabbanan sheet. On the other extreme, we have Tosas' sheet. Tosas' sheet is that there's a new halacha called shishim. That halacha of shishim is not a fallback position. It is so powerful that it replaces the kfela entirely. On the contrary, kfela is a kind of drawback or fallback position. What I mean to say is that shishim works in a halachic method, in a halachic way. To the extent in which, says Tosfos, if you have shishim, I don't care about what the kfela says. Shishim operates to be mati the tarovas despite the claim, and a reliable claim of the kfela, that what? That he tasted Esau.
Despite it, yeah.
Again, I'm going to look inside and see. Again, hopefully I'm not saying right. Yeah. According to Tosfos, we're not concerned with the Timas Kfela. And again, you'll see this in the first bunch of pages that I gave you, in footnote number 20. How come I'm not finding it now? This frustrates me. Where is it? It was in footnote number 20. I don't find it now, but it was once there. Anybody want to help me out here? Let's see. I'm not sure why I'm not finding it now. It's a little bit upsetting to me. Oh, 12. Oh, I'm sorry. I said 20. It's 12. Okay, fine. Footnote number 12 is on page 3 of the first. That's the article called Tom Kiker. He says, maybe I'm not right. Let's see. He says, yesh ba tam. So again, according to Tosfos, we could be somech on shishim. We could be somech on shishim, even if what? Even if the guy is available. Now, let me analyze this with you. If the guy is available, isn't there a chance, and there's no big effort on our, great effort on our part, that he will taste this tarovas? You relied on shishim. And he would have discovered that he tastes the Tom of Esau. That's my question on Tosfos. Are you with me? Again, Tosfos says that even if the Kfela is sitting right in front of you, you can rely on Shishim. Flip side of the Rambam. Are you with me? I'm not saying anything that's so complicated. My question is the following. I don't get it. You're telling me rely on Shishim. Why? The guy is here, the kfela is here, maybe he'll taste it, he'll tell me, wait, something's funny about this milk.
And you're supposed to use both of them.
No, what I'm saying is that if the guy is available, it seems naive to me. It's like the ostrich, you know, who buries his head in the earth.
Boy.
Well, why not find out from the kfela? Maybe he'll taste it. That what?
That Chazal taught us shishim for a reason.
But what I want to know is the following: what are Chazal saying according to Tosfos?
This is shishim.
Are they telling me that, you know what? Probably, There's no taste. It's already shishim. Are they telling me, in all likelihood, you won't taste it?
Doesn't matter whether the tasted or not. Once it's shishim,
it's finished. It's a final product. Shishim will apply. We're not even going to ask the Fela. It seems to me, Lefiani is daiti, and I'm just throwing this out there again. You know, we can't get smicha in one day, but this is something that I really want to investigate if we have time. Belinda, it depends how much time you guys want to spend on this sugya. Because this is supposed to be a fast-paced shiur, but you know, in this case, I wouldn't mind slowing down the pace a little bit. Because again, I have vested interest here in understanding these halachas. Is Tosfos coming along and saying that when the Rabbanon indicated shishim, this is a brand new halacha? This isn't a halacha that revolves around tam in the way you and I understand tam. This is not about the mitzius of tam. This is about the halachic power of bittul. Bittul means that the Torah established a power or a force of heter, that this heter is so powerful that it completely trumps the iser.
But it centers around
the tam iser.
But it centers around tam. The whole concept of the bittul centers around tam. The tam is present, and the bittul should automatically be undermined.
But that's what I'm asking you, Gavriel. If, you know, in the Rambam's frame of reference, I agree, I embrace your logic 100%. The Rambam is saying, what's the Kfela telling me here? He tastes it. But in Tosis's frame of reference, what you need is a system that completely circumvents, obviates the Kfela. We've done away with the Kfela. But why? It's not like Tosfos is saying we don't rely on the faith. He's not trustworthy. He's fooling us. That's not what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying this halacha of shishim. Then it seems like Tosfos is operating with a brand new halacha that gives shishim a status of bittul. And bittul means that there's a halachic legal process by which the heter is mevatel yisur. I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. Let's turn back the clock to Yavesh B'Yavesh. Okay. One piece of chametz falls into a mixture of how many pieces of matzah?
60.
No. 2 pieces of matzah. Why? Because the halach of Yavesh B'Yavesh is bittul v'rov. Now, give it a break. Are you willing to eat a piece of this tarovis? Well, rov tells you you're allowed to eat it.
You have to eat it.
You want to be super frum? Be super frum, pious, but not on my chesed. According to one sheet of Rishon, you could eat all 3 pieces.
Right.
What do you see from that?
Because it gets bittul.
Exactly, that there's a new halach of bittul. Do you understand what I'm saying, Rabbi Osai? That bittul means that the heter has the power to be mevatel iser. Regardless of all, I know I'm eating a piece of chametz. It comes back to my quiz question. You know, when are you allowed to eat chametz? So we had one sheet in Rabbi Yehuda, who was a Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who said that if the chametz is owned by a guy, you're allowed to eat it. Here's another case where you can eat chametz. One piece of dry chametz fell into 2 pieces of dry matzah, and I can eat all 3 according to a whole slew of Rishonim. Rebbei Shem, I'm eating chametz. Tanisa Kares, Lo Bedili Mine, it's got an Isra by Motzi, it's got an Isra, no, you got everything. Chametz has it all. And I'm allowed to eat. It's crazy.
It's just each one you can say, this isn't the Chametz. Each one.
Good.
Until the last one, but then you say,
I already ate the Chametz, right? Yeah. That doesn't make me feel very comfortable. I'd rather say the Rush is very famous in Chulin, he coins a phrase, Iser Nefach Leos Heter. Magical. But Iser nefach lios heter. The Iser converts itself, transforms itself to be heter. I mean, you see that Iser v'heter is not the way we understand Iser v'heter. Iser v'heter is some sort of, you know, metaphysical, spooky koach that's in the Iser, and you know, and then the Torah can determine how to remove that spooky koach. You know, I don't know. Basically, I don't know how it works. I mean, the thing is, the Vela, it's heter. Iser nefach lios heter. What I'm suggesting is the possibility that bittul works even in the case of lach and shishim in a halachic world, in a halachic frame of reference. To the extent in which a Tosfos says, I don't care what the Kfela says, it's irrelevant. He's sitting right in front of me. He smells the Isra. I don't care. I got shishim. It's gone. It's a din of bittel. Bittel means that you could be mavatal Isra. Rashi requires both. He requires timas kfela, and he requires bittel. Rebbe Shalom, I don't get Rashi. What's going on? The kfela told me nada. There's no taste of Isra. Not good enough, says Rashi. What else do you need? You need shisha. It means, according to Rashi, that we that's why I call it the middle shita. Rashi requires a double bittul. First of all, in a mitzius, in reality, you have to remove the tam of Isur. But that itself is not enough. There's still some halachic tam that has to be removed. And there's a new car called bittul that removes the halachic tam. So I need two systems to get rid of this tam Isur. Which is very fascinating because Rashi himself holds that Tam Ki Ikar loved the Oraisa. You know, had Rashi said Tam Ki Ikar the Oraisa, good. You know, I would come up with new svaris to understand why you need a double system to undermine and neutralize the Tam Ki Ikar. Rashi holds that Tam Ki Ikar is not the Oraisa. So I don't know why the Rabbanan would have been so super duper machmir on an Isur Rabbanan of Tam. You remove the Be'en, and yet we have to be mavatal in two different ways. Number one, we have to guarantee that there's no Tam. Maybe the Rabbanan are worried because if you taste the Isur, who knows what you'll think, and then what might come out of this, and tomorrow you'll start, I don't know what. But on the other hand, Rashi says we have to employ a system of bittul, which requires shishim, even though I don't taste the Isur. Rashi shita is a pel. Told?
I was thinking of a different idea why you need both, or why Tosfos would say that you only need one, is that we know bittul b'shishim. But what about Bottle of Lachim, right? There's still a time, but there's only a thousandth of something else in it. What's the case there? It tastes like it's...
Right, the kfeil is not going to taste anything, right?
Much less than a shishim. So now what? It's much less than a shishim.
Right.
I need someone to taste it.
Right, so I think, Dov, what you're pointing out is that if on top of the din of bittul b'shishim, there are dinim like bittul b'masayim, for example, in case of Oral or Klai Akerim, and so on, you see that there are halachas of bittul that are not generated and are not to be framed within the context of tam as a mitzius. Because the tam of the mitzius was bottled already by shishim. So now you're telling me, well, because it's Oral, you need 200? What does that make sense? Well, what changed in Oral? All of a sudden the tam... You know, the Tom is dancing all of a sudden, you know.
If, that makes sense with Tosos.
That's what I'm saying, that it seems like Bittul here is working, according to Tosos, in a halachic framework. And it's circumventing the halach of Tom as we know it, a mitzius of Tom. So again, if I told you Bittul Barov is a new halach of Bittul, what I would call in Brisket Haraj a chalash of Bittul, it's a halachic entity, then I have to agree with you. But if I'm talking about bittul v'shishim, which the Chacham are giving me a way of determining that there's no tam, that I would have said is not halacha of bittul. And therefore, we should ask the kfeila and tell us whether he tastes it or not. The Rambam seems to assume that the halacha of bittul is really just a fallback position because we don't have access to the kfeila. Yeah, you know, the Rambam seems to be going here with a very... You know, very concrete approach. What I call balabatish of bittul. He's not dealing with halachic bittul. Chachom are giving us the way of figuring out whether this tam. So according to the Rambam, let's say you have shishim, but the kfeil says I still taste it. It's out. Out to lunch. Throw it in the garbage. I mean, you may be able to sell it to the god. You know. Depends what the tzisri
are. But if you just rush you...
I want to start the sugya now. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
If the goy does taste it and it's not shishim, can you just add more?
No, that's a different principle. That's how Allah called ein mevatlin isur lechatchila. You know, we're not allowing you to take heter and add it to the tarovas in order to do so. Now, save your question for chametz, because maybe in the context of chametz, we might find some possibility of being mevatel l'chatchila. I'm talking about chomet she'ovel of a pesach coin to Shimon and so forth and so forth.
But how do you have, if you add so much and you don't have a tom of the plashek anymore, how can you have tom ke'ikr still? Like, how can it still be an issue?
You're talking about a case of adding some heter to the mixture? You went ahead and did it even though you weren't allowed to? the Chachamim might penalize you for violating that Iser Vein Lechbat. But I'll give you another example. Let's say, again, this is way ahead of ourselves, but let's say you cooked on Sunday in a pot, Nevela. Right, so you made Nevela. Okay, let's say you have a tray for pot, and now on Monday, you cooked accidentally, hopefully, right? You cooked kosher meat in that pot. What would you say about that? The halach of tam only applies in what's called tam lishvach. Tam lishvach means that you enhance the end product of your cooking. The flip side of tam lishvach is called tam, anybody know? Lifgam. Tam lifgam means that the tam is pogam. I mean, a classic example is if a rodent falls into your pot. You know, the Gemara actually has a case like that. The achbar falls into your cook pot. It's pretty gross. But in any event, you remove the rodent and you can be matir, whatever it is, because it's a tam lifgam. Now, the Gemara assumes that when you cook something in a pot, the tam that comes out of that pot, that's polate, is only lishvach for 24 hours. Again, it gets complicated because some Rishonim hold that if it's overnight, that already converts the tam from a tam lishvach to a tam lifgam. But let's say 24 hours have passed. So Sunday morning you cooked nevela in the pot. Sunday and Monday in the afternoon you cooked kosher meat in the pot. Technically, you're allowed to do so because it's a tam lifgam. However, the Rabbanan prohibited it. What does it mean they prohibited it? They don't allow you to take this pot and cook in it. They require what? On this pot? This is how I used to spend Erev Pesach for 14 years in the army, you know, in Israel. You have to be Machsha the Kelim. What is Heksha Kelim? It could be Hagola, it could be Libun. Right? We used to go to the army, they had these pots that they had to kasher, you know, in the army. We used to do Libun. Do you know what Libun is on a pot that's about this size? Literally, it's taller than me.
Fair enough.
You have to use a brenner. A brenner means you take this torch, right? It's an electric torch, and it's mamish pikuach nefesh. If you go, you know, it's because the place is wild. You know, it's Erev Pesach, and there, you know, there's fire all over the place. All right, and it's a mind-boggling experience. I'll tell you what happens. I don't know if anyone ever told you this. Okay, you'll only hear it from first-hand source. What we used to do is we would heat up this pot with the brenner, right? And when did you know, boom, it's kosher?
Sparks.
It's amazing. I don't know what the physics of it, I can't explain it, but I saw this 1,000 times. What happens is that around the lip of the pot, again, the lip is very thick, it's a gigantic pot, all of a sudden, the whole thing goes up in flames. It's like wild. You're standing there with the brenner, and all of a sudden, the thing goes up, and what happens? It oozes and oozes this brownish, mucky substance of shuman, of oil, that was inside the pot. And it's like magical. Like, where all of a sudden this thing did it come from? And then you know it's kosher. Then you have to clean out the pot. That's a whole different thing, you know. Today already the army is much more sophisticated than them. By now they still do it, but now they have new pots, many of the bases. But out in the boondocks, you know, if you go out to not an organized army base, you know, then they're still using the old system where they don't have pots to replace kosher bases that can pots.
It was crazy. We had to do exactly what you said.
Where? In you did Hechsher Kalim for the army?
They came into Hechsher Kalim, where I think.
Oh, that's cool. Where were you located? Maybe I came. I know. How many years ago was it?
Last year.
Oh, no. That was here in Kew Garden Hills.
I was showing my name.
It's old. Oh, okay. Anyway, it's really cool to see it. It's all right. So let's start the sugya, Rabotzai. Okay, inside. Amar Rav. Okay, how many shittas do we have in this sugya? For those who've gotten to the bottom of the page, 3. Who are they? Let's give them names. No. In the Gemara itself, how many shittas? Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rav. Those are going to be the three shittas. Okay. Fine. So let's start with Rav. Rav is Roman numeral number one. Omar Rav, chametz bizmano. So chametz during Pesach fell into a mixture. Bein bimino, bein shelo bimino, osr. And you'll soon see that this means that there's no bittul at all in chametz, which is called in the language of Shas, chametz osr b'kol shehu. Any amount of chametz that falls in, according to Rav, into a tarovis, I don't care if you have 1,000 times, it osrs the whole thing. Throw it out. That's Rav Shita. Now, my first gut reaction to Rav is, what kind of tarovis are you talking about? Are you talking about lach belach, or let's say chametz fell in and you cooked it in a cooking, you know, with liquids in it? Or are you talking about what?
Yavish
b'yavish. And it's impossible in my mind, although we'll see that Darvi showed him we're going to go down this route, but in my mind it's impossible to assume that Rav is talking about yavish b'yavish. Because yavish b'yavish is mutter b'rov. That's called bittul. That's the classical case of bittul. There's no reason why the halacha of bittul shouldn't apply to chametz.
Well, it's among all isurim.
All isurim. That's what I would have said. We'll see about it. But in the case of a tarovis of lach, is Rav says that it's asur bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino. Shelo b'zmano b'mino asur shelo b'mino mutter. B'mayaskinu, what's the case? Ilim v'no saying tam. If we're talking about a case of lach, and there's less than shishin, that's called no saying tam, and what principle now is activated? Tam ki ikar. Is then, Rav doesn't make any sense, because Rav says shelo b'zmano shelo b'mino mutter. How can it be mutter? After all, there's no shishin, there's tam, and tam ki ikar. So by process of elimination, says the Gemara, Hayav Le Tama, Elo, we must be talking about Bimashu, there is Shishim. So now let's understand. If there's Shishim, in what case would Rav make sense that the Tarovis is awesome? What do you say?
No.
We got rid of Yavish B'Yavish. Yavish B'Yavish is not on Rav's radar screen. We're talking about Lach B'Lach. Ari, are you with me today? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we're talking about lach b'lach, correct?
Yeah.
Which case of Rav would make sense that even though you have shishim of heter against the isur, against the chametz, nevertheless, chametz is also b'mash?
Shalom. No.
Shalom b'mino is your classical bittul b'shishim, unquestionable. Nobody denies the halacha of min. What did you just say? Did you say min b'sheinu mino?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Nobody denies the halacha. Just want to make sure that I'm not accusing you. Nobody denies the halacha of bittul in min b'sheinu mino. There's only one source, one shita that would deny the halacha of shishim, and that's the shita of whom?
Rush.
Well, Rav is based on who came before Rav? Rabbi Yehuda. And when does Rabbi Yehuda suspend the operation of Bittul? We're talking about Bittul B'Shishim. That's called Min B'Mino. Rabbi Bosai, this has to be engraved in your minds. Partially, even if you have to review this 1,000 times, it'll never be Bittul. Even in 1,000. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is Min B'Mino Eino Bittul. Liola. So I'll give you a classical example of min b'mino. Let's say chelev falls into shuman. Chelev and shuman is called min b'mino. They have the identical tam. If chelev falls into meat, and the chelev is cooked together with the meat, that's min b'sheino mino. Even Rabbi Yehuda says it's batul b'shishim. And even Rav would say it's batul b'shishim. But if it's min b'mino, let's say chametz and matzah, or in this case of chelev b'shuman, then Rabbi Yehuda comes up with his radical breakthrough, and I never would have thought that it would come up la halacha, But Rav is going to stand on the shoulders of Rabbi Yehuda. Min benino afilu bielef lo bata. Why is there no possibility of bittul? Min benino.
He says the opposite. Min benino afilu.
Who's he?
Rav.
Rav says min benino eno bata, but Rav is now going to make a fast move, and he's going to extend that halacha to min b'she'eno mino, which is something that breaks all boundaries. Or, you know, he's broken down all the machitzos. So, it's Pashut Pritzes Gedder to say such a thing. But we'll see what logic Rav has, and Rashi's going to claim it's halach in Chametz and only in Chametz. But we're not ready for that yet. I just want to focus on Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that min b'mino lo bottle? There's no bittle in min b'mino. Because both have what?
The same flavor.
So what happens is, we could have.
The flavor is really the mutter when you're tasting.
Correct. We could have said just the opposite. That either if they both have the same taste, then let the heter overpower the iser. Let the iser taste be completely null and void, lose its identity because of the overwhelming power of the heter. And Rav Yehuda says the opposite. Since the heter shares the same tam, we can't use bittul. Bittul, says Rav Yehuda, is based on a contrast. If there's no contrast, then on the contrary, the heter is being machazek the iser. It's giving, so to speak, support to the iser, and that's called min b'mino eino bat. Now the Ran, maybe we'll see this tomorrow if we have a chance. The Ran has a whole new take on Rabbi Yehuda, why min b'mino is lo bat. So let's leave that out for now. It's very relevant to this sugya, but I think we have to just build up gradually. Comes along Rav, and he takes this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, and he extends it. Says the Gemara, Rav l'tameh, the Rav who Shmuel the Amrit Shavayu call Isurim Shabbat Torah b'mino b'mashu, like whom? What does b'mino b'mashu mean? Like whom? Like Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have it? They both say this as mamish in the middle of your sleep. When you see b'mino b'mashu, those two words, automatically you associate that with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the radical revolutionary shita that min b'mino afilu b'elef lo bata. But what about Shalom B'mino? Shalom B'mino is B'no Saint Tam. Which means what bittul are we operating with? Shishim. So then why does Rav say that Chametz Bizmano, Bain B'mino, Bain Shalom B'mino is also B'mashu? Says the Gemara, Rav Gozar Chametz. Please underline the word Chametz. Because it's only a Chametz halacha. Chametz Bizmano, Shalom B'mino, Atu Mino. Wow, Rav says there's a gzera here, which only applies to chametz. Rashi is going to work hard. Why in chametz he was so mach? And he said that shalom b'mino might be confused with what? With mino. So you have chametz that falls into a cholent. It's min b'sheino mino. It's bread in meat. And it doesn't matter how little of amount of chametz, whatever the volume was, it's a mashu. And you've got a gigantic cholent that feeds a whole pluga in the army. And it's the whole thing is awesome. Throw it all out. Why? It's min b'sheino mino. If chelev would fall into a cholent, it would be batul b'shishim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's chumer is only min b'mino. So why in chametz is min b'she'eno mino? Aser b'mashu, says the Gemara, in chametz Rav made gzera, min b'she'eno mino, atu, min b'mino. So the min b'mino halacha from Yehuda, according to Rav, is being extended to any tarovus of chametz, even if it's min b'she'eno mino. Okay. So Rashi says why? So Rashi says Shalom b'mino nami b'zmano osuvi afal gav de islay l'rav b'chol isurim. Other than what? Other than chametz. Shalom b'mino b'no saint tam, which is another way of saying there's a din of bittul b'shishim. But Rav gozer b'chametz b'zmano. Why did he pick on chametz? Hoil ubekares hu. Wait a minute, that's not so simple. Chelev is also Bekaris. And yet Chelev is Batel B'shishim in Min B'sheino Mino. Shalom B'mino Atomino V'afal Gav D'Bechelev V'dam. both of which are Yisrei Karis. Lo gazar shelo bimino atumino. Hasam chelev and dam, which represent now all Yisurim other than chametz, who dibdili minin. We don't have to be so machmir about it. Aval chametz lo bedili minay hol vi ochlo kol yemos hashana. So Rashi establishes two conditions for the gzera of Rav of shalom bimino atumino. No question. Condition number one is it that you're dealing with an iser kares, and condition number two, you're dealing with lo bedili minay, which means the whole year round it's mut. Chametz fits this double description. It has the identity of Yisur Kares, but not only that, it's lo bedili minay. Where did we encounter this svara that chametz is lo bedili minay?
We're going to pick up the shino.
Correct. So can you find it? It's here in this parak. But we also had it in Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta. Tosfos raised the question: why was the Torah so machmir in chametz to require hashbasa? And the Rabbanan added bedika, get rid of it, beer chametz. They never required beer in Klei Kerem and in Arla, in Yain of a Nazir. The answer is because chametz is lo bedili. There's a special chumr in chametz that we don't find in other Yisurim that's lo bedili.
What is the lo bedili?
It means that we're used to it the whole year round. 357, 8 days out of the year, we eat chametz.
Oh, because other, it's really like and dumb, but you can't have it any time.
Any time, whole year. Right. Again, Nazir is a problem. We have to figure that out. You know, that's the Marsha on the first Tosfos. So Rabosai, in Rav's frame of reference, we can formulate the following halacha. Chametz asur b'mash. That's the sum total of everything we've been discussing. However, that's only true when chametz has an iser kares. When does chametz have an iser kares? Bizmano. Chametz liachar zmano has no iser kares, and therefore it should be treated like what? Like all isurim. If it's treated like all isurim, then the halacha of bittul will apply when? Min b'shalom. So I have chametz liachar pesach that got mixed up in a tarovas of meat, we'll call it, let's say, a cholent. So it's the Shabbos after Pesach, and lo and behold, I've got chametz that was in my possession, and now it fell into my cholent. But by the cholent, what do? The answer is I apply the rule of shish. There's no din of chametz asu b'mashu with regard to chametz li'achar Pesach. Even though chametz liachar Pesach is asur midoraisa, but it's lacking what? The isur kares. Since it's lacking the isur kares, it falls into the class of all isurim, which are batel b'shishim. There's no tam in shishim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's min b'she'eno mino. Are you getting the feeling of it? The nice thing about this sugya is that once you get to a certain point, you know, it's like, it's like really cool because, you know, the computer works. You know,
you can relate it well.
What do you say?
You can relate it well.
Yeah, you can relate it well. You know which buttons to press. So I'll be with you in a second, though. I just want to read the Gemara that we presented inside. The Gemara says, Shalob is mano. Where am I? Shalob is mano bimino asakir Rabbi Yehuda. The same would be true for any Iser. So if the Vela fell into your cholent, and therefore it's min bimino, then it would be Asik Reb Yehuda, but shalo bimino mutter. You see, cholent is an interesting case. What would you say about Nevela and cholent? Is that min bimino or min b'sheino bimino? Because you've got potatoes and you've got beans, so some say it goes to the majority. Others say that once there's meat in the cholent, kosher meat, then already Rabbi Yehuda's shita kicks in that min bimino strengthen one another, and therefore it's afil velaflav bato. Okay, but that's really futuristic. But shalom bismano shalom bimino atu mino kuli alma lahai logas mino. We're not going to make a gzera on chametz shalom bismano min b'sheino mino atu mino. What do you say, Ariel?
Is it that
the Vino is Osir? There's Osir, so the Vino is in the Trolley, and you can't throw it all out according to Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not saying we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, but I'm saying according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rav accepted Rabbi Yehuda. Then min bimino afilu be'eloflo bot.
Whether bimino or shein bimino. So
according to Rav, right now we're holding by Rav. Rav holds that chametz bizmano doesn't have any bitul b'shishin, but chametz shalom bizmano, if it's min b'shein omino, has the din of bitul.
Shalom
bizmano
has the din
of min b'shein omino. So chametz in your cholent, if we could use that as a classical case, would be mutter if you had shishin, according to Rav, if it's liachar zman. Now Rashi points out that even if the chametz fell in on Pesach, but now it's after Pesach, you could still rely on shishin.
Wow.
Yeah, you might have said that
because
now it's the Achir Zman. Again, that has to be analyzed, but I'm just throwing that out there. Just to...
And also, just as a fundamental question, how do we know something is Shishin?
Good, so that's Sugyas in Shulchan Aruch about how the displacement theory, you know, throw in an egg and you figure how much water is displaced by the egg, you know, that's all. That's something that I would recommend if you ever had a Shaila, you know, to ask a Rav. Because that really requires a lot of, you know, the practical shimush, you know, of being a rav.
Yeah.
My Rebbe used to say that his father would literally on the night of the Seder have so many shilas. You can't believe it. The classical shilas was chicken soup. People from the city of Chaslavich, where he was the rav, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, would ask Rav Moshe on Leil HaSeder, we found in that chicken soup a piece of wheat. Why? Because the chicken, before it was slaughtered, ate a piece of wheat, a kernel of wheat. And now you find it floating on the top of the surface of the soup. And you and I would have said, well, it's min b'shein amino, it's certainly less than shishim, it's batel, eat the soup. But the problem is that chametz is also from mashu. Mm-hmm. The question is how to get out of this, you know, how to circumvent this issue. And Rabbi Shishu used to have these shilas constantly on Leil HaSeder. You think Leil HaSeder is a time that a Rav spends with his family, you know, he invited guests to his Seder table. Oh no, they were knocking on the door in Chaslavich. Alright.
What did he pass him?
I'm not sure if now's the time to discuss that, but keep after me, you know, hound me on that. You know, we'll see if when we get to Rava, that, you see, the answer to your question will come here on Daf Lamed, which is for tomorrow. But let's just finish up for today. Now we have Shmuel. Shmuel Amar Chavetz Bizmano Bimino Asur and Shalom Bimino Mutter. Basically, what is Shmuel? What yardsticks? Two principles that Shmuel is applying here. Number one, he's accepting Rabbi Yehuda as far as Min Bimino is concerned, correct? But he's not willing to differentiate chametz from any other Isuri Torah, and therefore Shalom Bivino is Batel. Shalom Bizmano, oh, now he's radically departing from Rav. Bein Bimino, Bein Shalom Bimino, Mutter. And that's going to be a question. How could it be that Shmuel, who accepts Rabbi Yehuda, will be Matir Chomet Shalom Bizmano Min Bimino? Rav only went as far as being Matir Shalom Bizmano Min B'Sheino Mino, the Chomet's in the Cholen. But Chomet's mixed in with Matzah, that Rav could not be Matir even after Pesach, because having accepted the Isur of Chomet's Lachar Zmano and now gauge it by the standards of all Isurim, and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that Min Bimino Afilu Be'eloflo Batel, so he couldn't be Matir Chomet's in Matzah in a Tarovus. But Shmuel is willing to be Matir Chometz Lachar Zmano in a Taruves of Min Bimino, even though he accepts Rabbi Yehuda that Min Bimino Afilu Be'elef Lo Batil. So the Gemara analyzes this. Shmuel Tamei, the Ravu Shmuel, the Amri Travai, Kol Yisun Shabbatara Min Bimino Osur Bimashu, like Rabbi Yehuda, Shalom Bimino Dosing Tam, and the Gzera of Chometz, which Rav postulated, was not accepted by Shmuel, Shalom Bimino Otu Mino Lo Gozar. Fine. He never accepted that Gzera to equate Shalom Bimino with Mino. Shalom Bismano Bain Bimino Bain Shalom Bimino Mutter? How could that be? If it's Bimino, then it's got to be also Bimashu because of Rabbi Yehuda's principle. Chelev in Shuman is also Bimashu. So more answers, Kirab Shimon. Here's the radical departure of Shmuel from Rav, whereas Rav accepted Rabbi Yehuda not only as far as Tarovus Min Vimino, but also as far as Chometz Shalom Zmano. Chometz Liachar Zmano is also in a Torah. Shmuel embraces the sheet of Rav Shimon about Chometz Shalom Zmano. Chometz Shalom Zmano is Mutter, as far as the Torah law is concerned. The Rabbanan asked it, but they only asked it in a Tarovus of... Just one second. So wait a minute. Shmuel says that Chometz Shalom Bizmano. Shmuel is applying the principle of Bittel. Correct? Now, he's assuming, Shmuel, that Bittel, that Rabbi Yehuda's Bittel of what? Rabbi Yehuda's principle that of Mashu in Min Benino does not apply to Chometz Lachar Zmano. Now, how does this help me, Kirab Shim? So look at the Rashi on the bottom of the page. The Liach Hazman is Shari Afilu Bino Saint Ta. Makam Parfa, Asale Rav Shim Shum Knos. Aha. So now we're saying that no matter what the ratio is, even if it's less than Shishim, Shmuel is Matir, any Tarovus whatsoever of Chomet Shalom Bizman. And the question is going to be, even though Rav Shimon Matir is Chomet Shalom Bizman on a Torah level, Midoraisa, but nevertheless he admits that the Rabbanan prohibited Chometz Shalom Bizmano, why shouldn't we require Shishim in order to be Mevatel, the mixture of Chometz Shalom Bizmano? That's going to be the question of the Gemara here on Daf Lam. And finally, we have the third Shita. I said the third Shita was Rava, that's my mistake. The third Shita is Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chometz Bizmano Bein Bimino Bein Shalom Bizmino Asur. Only when? Bino Sein Ta. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan is applying the classical halacha of Bittul B'Shishim to Chometz Bizmano. And basically, he's equating Chometz with any Isur Torah because his Shita is that Min Bimino is Bottul B'Shishim. And even that requirement of Shishim in Min Bimino is only Derabbanan, as we'll soon see. Meaning, Min Bimino Minatorah is Batal Berov, once we accept Rabbi Yehuda. Derabbanan made Xera Ata Min B'She'eno Mino, and equating Min Bimino with Min B'She'eno Mino, they require Shishim. No, what I'm saying is that in Min Bimino, if you have Rov Heter against the Isur, then on a total level it's Mutter. The requirement of Shishim in Min Bimino, according to the Shita of those who rejected Rabbi Yehuda, is only Derabbanon, which has tremendous nafkamina. Let's say if you have Min Bimino in a mixture of Chelev and Shuman, and now you don't know if you have Shishim or you don't have Shishim, and there's no Kfeil around, then you could rely on a Sufik Derabbanon Lekula. Because the increment between Rov and Shishim in the case of Min Bimino, if we reject from Yehuda, is only a Derabbanan. On the Torah level, once we had the Rov, that was enough to be Matir, this Tarovus. But nevertheless, if we equate Chometz with all Isurei Torah, then we come up with the Halach of Shishim, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Main Bimino, Bein Shalom, meaning we require Shishim. That's called Beno Saint Tam.
What does it mean
with all Isur Torah? Any Isur Torah, whether it's Min Bimino, Min B'Sheino Bimino, is Batul B'Shishim. In Lach Balach. Again, I'm not talking about Yovich. So again, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chometz Bizmano Bein Bimino, Bein Shalom Bimino, Osur Bino Sein Tam. So you need Shishim. And the Chiddush here is that Min Bimino is Batul against Rabbi Yehuda. Again, on a Daraisa level, Berov, on a Darbana level, Atu, Shalobimino, we require Shishim. Shalobizmano, and here we have a repeat of Shmuel, is Bein Bimino, Bein Shalobimino, Mutter, even without Shishim. So now the Gemara analyzes Rabbi Yochanan. Chomich Bizmano, Bein Bimino, Bein Shalobimino, Beno Saint Tam, Rabbi Yochanan Tamedi. The Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakash, Yamich Ravai, Kol, Isur, Shabbatar, Bein Bimino, Shalobimino, Beno Saint Tam. Rejecting Rabbi Yehuda, So whereas Shmuel accepted Rabbi Yehuda, but he wasn't willing to differentiate between Chametz Bizmano and other Isurim, so applying the classical standard of Rabbi Yehuda, he would aser Chametz Bizmano b'mino. That's called mashu, min b'mino eino botel, afi b'elful botel. But in min b'shein amino, Shmuel insists that we can apply the principle of shishim. Rabbi Yochanan is going to apply the principle of shishim even in min b'mino, even b'zmano, because he rejects Rabbi Yehuda. And chametz is to be equated with all isuri Torah. We have the din of bittul b'shishim. Shalom b'zmano, on the last line of the Gemara, bein b'mino bein shalom b'mino mutarim k'rab shimin. And that's where Rashi says the Gemara is going to raise the question, why is it mutter, even if you don't have shishim, because there's an absolute rule here, which both Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan agree upon, that chametz shalom bizmano is mutter in any taroves, even if you don't have shishim. And that's where the Gemara is going to pick up on Daf Lamed. So again, as we end the shiur for today, let's just summarize the three shitas. Okay, so we have the shita of Rav, we have the shita of Shmuel, and we have the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Classical first generation Amoraim, right? These are Amoraim who are almost quasi Tanoim. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan in Yerushalmi is called the Tana, Rav in the Bavli is called the Tana, Tanahu Poli. So Rav is the biggest machmir. Chametz is Asur B'Mashur, which is wild. That means any mixture of chametz with anything on Pesach, I don't care what is min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino, is going to be osur b'mashu. And that's the unique.
I feel about that from right.
Mashu means 100,000. It doesn't matter. And why? Because Rashi says Rav, relying on Rabbi Yehuda, extended the halacha of mashu from mino to eno mino. And what's so special and so severe and strict about chametz is A, it's an isur karis, B, it's lo gedili mine. Then we get to Shmuel. Lo gedili mine, it's mutter the whole year round. And then we get to Shmuel, who says that chametz should be viewed and classified as any isur. Shmuel adopts Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino is also b'mashu. Chametz min b'mino on Pesach would be also b'mashu, but min b'she'eno mino would be batel b'shishim, that's benosin tam, like any Isur in the Torah. So let's, according to Shmuel, ask the question of Chelev and Shuman, that's going to be also b'mashu, a few beleflo batel, but Chelev and Echolent would be mutter b'shishim. Whether we need the Kfeil or we don't, that's the three-way machlokes that we discussed earlier. There's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about chametz shelo bizmano. Rav adopts the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that chametz shelo bizmano is awesome in our Torah, and therefore chametz should be viewed and treated liachas mano as any Isur in the Torah, which means min b'mino lo batel, min b'she'eno mino is batel b'shishim. Here we're not talking about an Isur Kares, because even Rabbi Yehuda asks chametz after zmano min haTorah, it's not an Isur Kares, and therefore chametz is dealt with in the exact same way you would deal with any Isur in the Torah. Like Chelev in Shuman, which is also b'mashu, Chelev in a Tarobas of Cholin, min b'sheino mino, would be mutter b'shishim. Again, I'll go over it one more time. Chelev in Shuman would be also b'mashu, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Chelev in a Cholin would be also b'shishim. Would be mutter b'shishim. And that's the way Rav would treat chametz over the Pesach. Shmuel goes very far. He adopts the shita of Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda, that chametz lachas manos is not osur, and therefore any tarovus whatsoever of chametz lachas mano, whether it's mino, misheno mino, is mutter. Rashi points out that this doesn't make any sense, because even Rabbi Shimon accepts the isur chametz lachas mano midin dirabonon, that's called a knas, chametz oval of a Pesach, and therefore in the case of min b'mino, we should apply the principle of eino batel. And min b'sheino mino, we should require shishim. How did Shmuel have the audacity of saying that any mixture of chametz shalom bizmano is mutter?
Sure.
Okay. Even according to Rav Shimon, because again, chametz lachas mano, even according to Rav Shimon, is also min rabbana. Now, it's all the klolei bittel apply not only to isurei Torah, but even to isurei derabbana. And finally, we have the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds min b'mino is batel b'shishim. As we said, midoraisa is batel b'rov. The Rabbanan required shishim like min B'she'ein omino. And those are the rules that will apply to chametz for Pesach, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Chametz for Pesach, bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino, is asur b'nosei tam. If there's less than shishim in tarobis, if there's more than shishim, it's mutter. Chametz liachar zman, Rabbi Yochanan accepts the sheet of Shmuel, namely that we pass in like Rav Shimon that chametz shelo b'zman is only to Rabbanon, and therefore it's mutter in any mixture whatsoever, bein b'mino, bein shelo b'zman. This whole three-way machlokus is not relevant to Yavesh B'Yavesh. In Yavesh B'Yavesh, we deal with a whole different system. So dry chametz with dry matzah should be batel baruch. We're going to see tomorrow that there's one shita that rejects it. And we'll take a look at the Mishnah. Okay, Rabosai? Have a great day. It's been a heavy, heavy shiur, at least for me. I don't know for you. But I'm extremely elated. I mean, it took me a good long time to get to this point where I can finally say that, you know, like I got the computer, I know which buttons to press on this.
It's a good sugya.